Welcome back, everyone, for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be tackling something a little bit different.
Yeah, a little out there.
You guys sent us this book,
Oh, yeah.
The Movements, An Introduction to a Moving Meditation by E.J. Gold.
It's a fascinating one.
It's a fascinating one, and I got to be honest, I'm a little stumped. The book claims to be a system of physical postures that can, impact your consciousness.
Yeah, and it's not your typical yoga class, that's for sure.
No, definitely not. It even says that these movements are a visual form of prayer.
It really does.
And it hints at this idea of a real world, like beyond our perception.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the most intriguing parts.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
It's I don't know about you, but for me it's a bit out there.
A little bit, but that's what makes it so interesting, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what makes it so interesting. So what if, for this deep dive, we kind of approach it like an experiment?
This sounds fun.
We'll walk through some of the core ideas from the book, maybe try a couple of the
Yeah,
exercises, and
hopefully.
you can see if anything resonates with you.
I think that's the best way to approach any new system.
Right.
Just dive in and see what
Dive in
happens.
and see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay, so one of the first things that kind of struck me as I was reading this was how Gold breaks down movement into these two fundamental components, tension and articulation.
Yeah, it's like he's saying our bodies are machines.
Yeah.
And to really understand how they move, we need to understand how these parts work together.
Exactly. And I thought that was such a cool way to think about it. So, tension is all about the contraction and relaxation of our muscles.
Right.
And articulation is like how our joints, our elbows, knees, hips, all that stuff, how those allow us to bend and
It's
move.
the mechanics of movement.
Yeah. And Gold argues that by combining these two things, like consciously,
Yeah.
we can create specific postures that influence our breathing, even our emotions. He even says they can impact our access to knowledge.
It's a bold claim.
Yeah. So how does that actually work?
Well, it's all about conscious control,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
It's about becoming aware of how we're holding our bodies, how we're breathing, and how those things are affecting our internal state.
So if I was going to try this at home, what would I actually be doing?
Well, the book has a bunch of exercises, a whole series
Okay.
to help develop that conscious control.
Got it.
One of the, well, simplest and maybe most profound
Okay.
is this thing called the stop exercise.
Stop exercise.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me more.
It's really simple. You're going about your day, walking, working, whatever, and at some random moment you freeze.
I
Like
free.
someone hit the pause button,
Okay.
and then you just observe
Observe what?
the state of your centers. He calls them centers, physical, emotional, mental.
Oh, okay. So I'm frozen. I'm paying attention to what's happening in my body, in my heart, in my mind.
Exactly. You might notice your shoulders are tense, maybe there's some anxiety, or you got a million thoughts racing through your head.
Okay, so just notice it.
Yeah, the key is to just observe it. No judgment.
Okay.
Oof.
I can see how that can be helpful for, self-awareness and stuff, but how does that tie into this whole accessing different states of consciousness?
Well, you see, Gold suggests that all our habitual patterns, the way we move, think, feel, they limit our awareness.
Okay.
So by interrupting those patterns consciously, we create space. Space for new possibilities to emerge.
So it's like by hitting the pause button, I'm stepping outside the autopilot of my everyday life and
Exactly.
seeing things from a fresh perspective.
Yeah, that shift in perspective,
Yeah.
that can be the first step towards those higher states of consciousness that Gold is talking about.
Interesting.
Now, there's another exercise that's really interesting.
Yeah.
It's called uncustomary posture.
Uncustomary posture.
Yeah.
That one sounds a little more challenging.
It can be, but it's also pretty rewarding. The idea is to hold postures that are, well, uncomfortable or unusual for you.
Okay.
So stretching beyond what you normally do, balancing on one leg, or even just sitting in a way that feels, weird.
So I'm intentionally making myself uncomfortable.
Yeah, the discomfort is kind of the point.
Why would I want to do that?
Because by pushing past our physical and mental comfort zones, we expand our awareness.
Right.
We break those habitual patterns. It's like
Okay.
shaking up our system and opening up to new possibilities.
Okay. I'm starting to see how this all connects. It's like these exercises are tools to rewire our bodies and minds so that
Exactly.
we become more conscious, more deliberate in how we move, how we think, and even how we feel.
It's all connected.
Okay. But where do these gradations of reason fit into all this?
Ah, yes, the gradations of reason.
Gold talks about them as different, levels of being that we can achieve through specific frequencies of vibration.
Right.
It sounds a bit mystical to me, if I'm being honest.
It does, doesn't it? It's definitely one of the more, shall we say, esoteric aspects of the system.
Yeah.
But think of it this way.
Okay.
Each gradation of reason is like a different frequency. And by refining our own vibration through these movements, we can tune into higher and higher states of awareness.
So if our current way of being is like listening to static on the radio, these movements are like finding a clearer signal.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay.
And what's even more interesting is Gold suggests these higher states aren't just theoretical, they lead to tangible changes in our experience of the world.
So what kind of changes are we talking? What could someone actually experience or achieve by progressing through these gradations?
Well, the book talks about increased vitality, heightened creativity,
Okay.
deeper intuition, even the possibility of accessing hidden knowledge.
Wow. Okay, now that's pretty mind-blowing. But how does this concept of transference tie into all of this?
Right, transference.
Gold mentions it as a way of like shifting our identity
What?
from our physical body to a higher energy body.
It's a bit of a head scratcher, isn't it?
Yeah.
Essentially, Gold suggesting that our true selves, they aren't limited to our physical forms.
Okay.
He believes there's this higher energy body, this more subtle aspect of ourselves that exists beyond our normal perception.
And these movements can help us connect with that higher self.
That's the idea.
Okay.
By cultivating presence of I, that's a strong sense of self-awareness and work wish, a dedicated desire to engage in this inner work, we can begin to access this higher energy body and experience a profound shift in our identity.
Okay, I'm officially intrigued. I gotta be honest, I'm still a little skeptical. Is there any evidence to support these claims, or is it all just theory?
Well, that's the tricky part. A lot of this is based on subjective experience, which can be hard to measure or quantify.
Right.
But Gold does draw on ancient traditions and practices that have been around for centuries, suggesting there's a long history of people experimenting with these ideas.
So it's like we're stepping into this realm where science and spirituality kind of intersect,
Exactly.
where ancient wisdom meets like modern exploration.
I like that.
All right, before we go full-blown esoteric here,
Sure.
let's bring this back to our listener a bit. If someone was intrigued by these ideas and they wanted to try some of these exercises at home, what would you recommend they start with?
Well, I think the stop exercise is a good place to begin.
Okay.
It's simple. You can do it anywhere, anytime.
It's almost like a mindfulness practice, right? But with movement, just taking a moment to pause and really tune in to what's happening in
Absolutely.
your body and your mind.
Being present.
Okay, that was definitely going on my to-do list.
Yeah.
Now, we've talked about these exercises for individuals, but you mentioned something about group dynamics playing a role in this system.
Oh, yeah, that's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
Gold believed that the energy of a group can create a shared mood or atmosphere that's conducive to certain experiences.
So it's like the energy of the group creates a container
Yeah,
for more powerful experiences.
exactly. And this is where he draws some interesting parallels with mediums and how they use posture and tone to influence their audiences.
Wait, are we talking about channeling spirits here?
Kinda.
Because that's a whole other level of woo-woo
It
that
is.
I'm not sure I'm ready for.
Well, he does touch on the idea of drawing down entities through movement and ritual,
Okay.
but it's presented in a very nuanced way.
Okay.
He doesn't go into a lot of detail about what those entities are, but he suggests that there are forces or beings that exist beyond our normal perception,
Okay.
and that we can interact with them through specific movements and practices.
Okay. I'm going to need a moment to process that.
Sure.
It's a lot to wrap my head around. Let's move on to something a little more concrete.
Okay.
You mentioned earlier that there are specific postures associated with different qualities or energies. Can you give an example of that?
Yeah, absolutely. One example is the salute to the sun posture, which is also found in a lot of yoga traditions.
Okay.
Gold describes this posture as evoking a sense of joy, vitality, and confidence. And he suggests that by holding this posture with intention and awareness,
Yeah.
we can actually cultivate these qualities within ourselves.
So it's like embodying the energy we want to experience.
Exactly. And the book goes even further, suggesting that certain postures can attract or draw down specific energies or even, entities.
Okay.
But again, he's careful not to make any definitive statements about what those entities are.
Right.
It's more about exploring the potential of movement to connect us with something, well, larger than ourselves.
Okay. I'm starting to see a pattern here. A lot of this system seems to be about pushing the boundaries of what we think is possible, about exploring the unknown with a sense of curiosity and open-mindedness.
Absolutely. And Gold really emphasizes the importance of approaching these practices with a business-like attitude.
Business-like.
He means that we should be focused, disciplined, and intentional in our practice.
Okay.
It's not about just going through the motions or hoping for a mystical experience.
Yeah.
It's about engaging in the work with a genuine desire to learn and grow.
So it's like a combination of physical discipline, mental focus, and maybe even a dash of faith.
That's a good way to put it. He talks about the need for work wish, this persistent desire to engage in this kind of inner work without that underlying motivation.
Yeah.
It's easy to get sidetracked or discouraged.
Okay, I'm really starting to see the appeal of this system. It's challenging, it's mysterious, and it offers the potential for some pretty profound experiences.
It does.
But I have to admit, I'm still a bit lost when it comes to this idea of a real world that Gold keeps hinting at. What exactly is he referring to?
That's the million-dollar question.
It is.
Gold's deliberately vague in his descriptions, but he seems to be suggesting that there's a hidden reality that exists beyond our ordinary senses, a realm of pure potentiality that we can access through specific practices and disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
He often refers to it as the real world, implying that our everyday experience is somehow less real or less complete.
So it's like there's a whole other dimension of existence that we're usually blind to.
That's the idea. And Gold implies that these movements, combined with other practices like self-remembering, can help us penetrate this veil and access this hidden reality.
The veil.
Yeah. He talks about developing our sensing faculties, our ability to perceive subtle energies and realities that lie beyond the grasp of our five senses.
Okay, now we're getting into some serious mind-bending territory.
We are.
But I have to ask, is there any way to verify these claims? Is there any evidence to support the existence of this real world?
Well, that's where things get tricky. A lot of this is based on subjective experience, which can be difficult to measure or prove scientifically.
Right.
But Gold draws on ancient traditions and esoteric teachings that have been passed down for centuries, suggesting there's a long history of people exploring these realms and reporting back similar experiences.
So it's like a blend of ancient wisdom, personal experience, and a leap of faith.
That's a good way to put it. It's not for everyone, that's for sure.
Right.
But for those who are drawn to this kind of exploration, it can be a deeply rewarding journey.
Okay. I'm definitely intrigued. But let's be practical for a moment.
Sure.
If someone wanted to dip their toes into these waters, where would you recommend they start?
Well, I always recommend starting with the basics.
Okay.
The stop exercise is a great way to begin cultivating self-awareness and interrupting habitual patterns.
Okay.
From there, you could explore some of the other simple exercises like uncustomary posture or beautiful ugly, which we talked about earlier.
Those are great suggestions. And I think it's important to emphasize that this is a process, not a quick fix.
Absolutely.
It takes time, patience, and a willingness to experiment.
It does.
Just really get a sense of what this system is all about.
Gold talks about the importance of approaching these practices with a sense of playfulness and curiosity.
Right.
It's not about forcing yourself to achieve some predetermined outcome.
Right.
It's about allowing yourself to discover what unfolds naturally as you engage in the work.
That's a great point. It's like we're explorers setting out on an uncharted journey.
Yeah.
Not tourists following a prepackaged itinerary.
Exactly. And who knows what treasures we might find along the way.
I love that analogy. Mm. It's about the journey, not the destination. Speaking of journeys, there's one more thing I want to touch on before we wrap up. Mm. Gold talks about attention as a tool for like pondering and concentrating force. What exactly did he mean by that?
This is where Gold's background in physics really comes into play.
Okay.
He saw attention as a kind of energy that we can direct and focus.
Mm.
It's not just about passively noticing things. It's about actively engaging with them, bringing our full presence to bear on whatever we're experiencing.
So it's like a laser beam that we can use to illuminate different aspects of our experience.
That's a great way to visualize it. And Gold suggests that these movements can help us train our attention to make it more focused, more flexible, more resilient.
Okay.
He even describes how we can use attention to make adjustments in what we're observing, almost like we're fine-tuning our perception of reality.
Okay, that's starting to sound a bit like science fiction. Are we talking about mind control here?
Not quite. It's more about developing a conscious relationship with our attention, becoming aware of how it influences our experience,
Right.
and learning to use it more deliberately. Think of it like this. Imagine you're watching a movie,
Okay.
but you're constantly distracted by your phone, your thoughts, the people around you. You're not really experiencing the movie fully
Right.
because your attention is scattered. But if you can learn to focus your attention, to really be present with the movie, you'll have a much richer experience.
That makes sense. So in a way, these movements are like a workout for our attention muscles.
Exactly. And the stronger our attention becomes, the more we can access those deeper levels of awareness
Okay.
that Gold is talking about. He even suggests that attention plays a crucial role in penetrating the veil that separates us from the real world.
Okay, let's talk about this veil for a moment. We've been dancing around it for a while now. What exactly is this veil, and why is it so significant in Gold's system?
It's one of the most mysterious and intriguing aspects of his work.
Yeah.
Essentially, Gold believed that there's a hidden reality, a realm of pure potentiality that exists beyond our ordinary perception.
Okay.
He often referred to it as the real world, implying that our everyday experience is somehow limited
Okay.
or incomplete.
So it's like there's a whole other world out there that we're usually blind to.
That's the idea. And Gold suggests that this veil isn't a physical barrier,
Okay.
but a perceptual one. It's created by our habitual patterns of thought, emotion, perception, by the limitations of our five senses, and by our attachment to the material world.
And he believes these movements can help us see beyond this veil.
That's right. He believed that by developing our sensing faculties, our ability to perceive subtle energies and realities, and by cultivating presence of I and work wish, we can begin to penetrate this veil and access this hidden realm.
Okay, I have to be honest, this is all starting to sound a bit too mystical for me.
Yeah.
Is there any way to verify these claims? Any scientific evidence to support the existence of this veil or the real world?
That's a fair question. And as with many things in this realm, scientific evidence is hard to come by.
Right.
A lot of this is based on subjective experience and ancient wisdom traditions that don't necessarily lend themselves to empirical testing.
So it's a leap of faith.
Perhaps. But I think it's important to remember that science is constantly evolving.
True.
What may seem impossible or far-fetched today could be proven tomorrow.
Right.
And even if we can't definitively prove or disprove these claims,
Yeah.
I think there's value in exploring them with an open mind.
I agree. It's about expanding our understanding of what's possible, even if it pushes us beyond our comfort zones.
Exactly. And who knows, maybe by engaging with these practices, we might just catch a glimpse of something extraordinary,
Yeah.
something that challenges our assumptions about reality and opens up new dimensions of experience.
Well, on that note, I think it's time to bring this deep dive to a close. But before we do, let's try to summarize what we've learned about the movements. We've explored a lot of ground today: tension and articulation, the stop exercise, uncustomary posture, gradations of reason, transference, the veil, and the real world. It's a lot to
It
process.
is, but if we were to distill it down to its essence,
Yeah.
I think we could say that the movements is a system designed to help us become more conscious, more deliberate, and more fully alive. It's about using movement as a tool for self-exploration, for expanding our awareness,
Yeah.
and for connecting with something larger than ourselves.
And it's definitely not a passive path. It requires effort, discipline, and a willingness to step outside of our comfort zones.
That's right. It's not a quick fix or a magic bullet. It's a lifelong journey of discovery and transformation.
So, for our listener who's been on this journey with us today, what's the takeaway? What can they do with all this information?
Well, if any of this has resonated with you, I would encourage you to explore further. Seek out the full text of the movements, experiment with some of the exercises, and see what you discover.
It's like we've given you a taste of a strange and exotic fruit.
We have.
Now it's up to you to decide if you want to take a bigger bite.
And who knows, you might just find it's the most delicious fruit you've ever tasted.
Until next time, keep diving deep.